And today we are going to talk about mothers. What do I know about being a mother? Well, I'm obviously not a mother, so I can't speak from that point of view. But I love the mother of my children, my wife Juanita. Thank you for all you do. And because I'm here speaking and because I'm alive, that means that I was born and that I have a mother and I love her dearly as well. Thank you, Mom. So this is a day set aside to honor the mothers in our lives. Though this is one special day, the reality is that we are to honor our parents all the time. Exodus 20:12 says, "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." What is it to honor? It is to respect. It is to esteem, to give weight to their counsel. To honor can be done with words, but it is also done with actions. Honor may also look different from a young child to a mother, and also a grown adult child to a mother. It may look different in different stages of life. And as I move on to this in this message, I want to say mothers have such a vital role in the family and in each of our lives. We know that without mothers, none of us would be here. Now, obviously, we could say that about fathers too. But mothers often hold a special place in our hearts. I realize that some of you may not have grown up with good mothers. It is less often, but still happens, and I am so sorry if you fit that category. Mothers are often the ones who nurture, to love and care for children. Now, fathers are included, but mothers tend to hold a very special place in those particular areas. Is it because a mother carries and bonds with the baby while in the womb? Is it that God has designed mothers to naturally do some of those things? Could it be many other reasons? I think yes to all of those. Whatever the reasons, mothers, you are vitally important. And thank you for all that you do. As I was going through scripture, I found many examples of mothers. Examples of good mothers. And also, the Bible doesn't hide the fallenness of humanity, so there's also examples of bad mothers in the Bible, who raised wicked children who didn't fear the Lord. But for the most part, we see many great examples of good mothers. Who comes to mind as a good mother in Scripture? Who comes to mind to you? As I was thinking about the mothers in the Bible, some of the first that came to mind was Eve, the very first mother. I also thought about Moses' mother, who hid Moses trying to protect him from the Egyptians who wanted to kill him. I also thought about Rahab, who hid the spies and protected her family when Jericho fell to the Israelites. Or what about Jesus' mother, Mary? And we just had a number of Easter messages, and we see Mary a part of Jesus' life, not only in the beginning, you know, the when he was born, but also at the end of his life. Mary saw many difficult times with during her pregnancy and people thinking differently of her, and also at the end of Jesus' life when she has to watch her son be crucified on a cross. There are literally hundreds, if not more, of examples of mothers in the Bible. And that was initially what I thought I was going to do, is just highlight a few of those mothers, but I wanted to do something very personal in my message today. Motherhood isn't easy. And I know that, and I'm not even a mother. But what do some mothers think when it comes to succeeding as a mother? Mistakes are inevitable. That goes for fathers too. But what is it to succeed as a mother? That question points us to what is important in motherhood. So I decided to take that question to a few mothers from our congregation. Let's take a look at what they have to say about that. What is it to succeed as a mother?
The thing I thought was not knowing why God chose Mike and I to begin with. Because we weren't saved. And to me, succeeding is how God turned two unsaved people around and brought it so that every one of our girls know the Lord. And to me, that's succeeding, and it's not me. I don't know how he did it. I have no idea how he did it, but it's a God thing.
I thought right away of John 8:32, and then it says, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And teaching them that the only truth lines up with the Word of God, that is our strength and our joy no matter what comes in life. We have only about 18 short years with our kids, and the power in God's Word will prepare them for the rest of their life. I don't remember a lot about how clean the house was or how much we got done each day when I was growing up, but I remember the times we sat around and had girl talk while Dad was at work, being silly together and talking about boys with Mom. So I can remember Dad complimenting Mom on making a house a home. We'd move into a new house, and she would get out her tablecloths and the knickknacks and put everything like it's supposed to be. Then it would be our home. And so I think those are the things that are important for succeeding as a mom.
I believe to succeed as a mother that you have a husband who loves you and you agree on raising your children together in the Lord. My husband was away a lot. But when he came home, he sure showed the children how much he loved me. And he always thanked me for the meals I made and baking I did. And it was just such a pleasure for me to be a mother and to be appreciated. My husband gave me flowers and took me out to eat on Mother's Day. And I believe it helped my children to grow up loving our home and loving our family.
So the first step in how to succeed as a mother is to know that you can't succeed. You will always fall short in some areas. My best advice on this would be to follow my mother's example. You need to love and accept your children and their choices, even when you don't agree with them. And you need to recognize that their choices are not your choices. Their choices are between them and God. Train up your child in the ways of the Lord, and he will return to it. In my experience, I have always trusted that my son was a gift from God. He is mine to love and to nurture and to enjoy for whatever time God chooses. Whether you have your child for 5 minutes or for 50 years, it is an honor given to you by God. He placed this person in your life for a purpose. It's my responsibility as a mother to do all that I can to direct my son to God, to be used for God's glory in whatever way God sees fit. I have always been my son's biggest cheerleader. I have supported him in everything he has ever tried to accomplish, no matter how big or how small, no matter how safe or how dangerous. Always keeping in mind that he belongs to God. I have prayed over his life in every stage. I began praying for his wife when he was 5 years old. I have prayed God's protection, grace, and favor over his life, knowing that God is his father and that he can see the whole picture when I can only see a small part. Trusting God through it all and knowing that he is in control, that to me is success.
Now we'll have them come back and answer a few more questions in just a moment, but I just wanted to say thank you to those mothers who were willing to be a part of this message today. Your answers help give us a glimpse into your lives as a mother. And there's a similarity that we are seeing in those answers to that question, what is it to succeed as a mother? Again, it might be easy to think about the times of failures, but that is not what the question is looking for. For both mothers and fathers, failures are going to happen, but what is it to succeed? The similarity in those answers we just heard revolve around faith in the Lord and passing that faith down to your children. The Apostle Paul saw the tremendous value of a mother's and a grandmother's influence. And he tells us that when he is referring to his kind of protege, Timothy. Timothy was like a son to the Apostle Paul as he served and was discipled by the Apostle Paul. Let's read in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Is that the point for success? To pass on to your children the things that matter, the things that are important in life, things like faith in God. It doesn't have to be on whether meals were made perfectly or if clothes were always the right size and matching. It doesn't matter if the floors were swept or the house was full of clutter. What matters, the children emerged alive. Yes, some days, praise the Lord. But the children emerged loved, and children grew to know Jesus Christ. I would like to read a couple more verses from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 31, starting with verse 28. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. I shared those verses because it points to a very crucial thing. Many people can do noble and good things. Many people can have likable personalities with charm, and women can be very beautiful on the outside. But that is nothing compared to what is on the inside, and that is having faith in the Lord. Though mistakes are inevitable, to succeed as a mother is one who faithfully serves the Lord, doing the best she can in her circumstances and trusting the rest to God. She demonstrates that faith to her children through word and by example. Again, this too could apply to fathers. Now, there might be some mothers who feel like they've failed in raising their children to trust the Lord, and I simply want to take a moment to encourage you. You cannot relive the past, but you can be the woman who fears the Lord today. Maybe you came to know Jesus later in life. Maybe your husband would not let you teach the kids about Jesus. I simply want to encourage you today. Live your faith and let your kids, even if they are grown and gone from the home, let your children see your faith lived out every day in the years to come. Those mothers that answered those questions were asked a second question. The second question I asked those mothers was this: what has been the most fulfilling part of motherhood? Let's hear what they have to say about that.
The fulfilling part of me, of my life was being, but knowing my children love me and they do this in all kinds of ways. They show me all the love they can give me. And when we have the opportunity to get together as a family, we know they show that they love in all their heart, and they take me. They love me to the point where it shows in how they behave toward me.
The most fulfilling? In 3 John 1:4, it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I have loved every stage of my son's life. I have been blessed. I've been blessed that he has chosen to include me in every aspect of his life. I am thrilled to be a granny to his children. None of this can compare to the joy that I feel when I see him serving the Lord. When I feel like I've fulfilled, that is when I feel like I've fulfilled my purpose as a mother. When I listen to him preach, when I see him serving as a deacon, when I watch him leading a youth activity, and when I watch the way he loves his wife and his kids, I see him walking in God's truth, doing all that he does as unto the Lord. He is a man of integrity, and he is real. These are the things that fill up my cup and make it overflow.
I don't have any certain spot because I loved it when they were babies. I loved it when they were toddlers. I extremely loved it when they were teens. And every stage, I just liked every stage. And then the favorite, I always said every stage was my favorite, but now I'm saying this is my favorite stage because now I got all the grandkids.
Well, as most of you know, we've had 6 boys. And so these are just some things that have come back now since they've left home. And those are the things that I feel the most fulfilled about. When they were home, it was a lot of chaos, and, you know, you're just in the middle of the battle. But these are some of the things that have been fulfilling. When one of my boys sent a card, Mother's Day card home, and referred to 2 Timothy 1:5, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now also lives in you also. And then when they are working the hardest, we see these boys just working like all guys do, I guess, just making a living and struggling in the things of life. And then he comes home and he says, you know, God is our provider. And it was like he got it. That's, if we taught him nothing else, God is a provider. He can't provide for himself. And then in rocky times, this is with another couple of them, going through hard things, seeing that them doing the right thing, making the right choices. So just in the hardest things that you could go through, I would never want to go through with some of the things they've gone through. But then seeing them do the right thing and making the right choices. And then seeing them serving their churches, continuing in Bible study and pursuing the Word, seeing them raising their children for the Lord, to love the Lord, seeing the legacy being carried on. And then 3 John 1:4 is another verse I thought of when you were asking the questions. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth.
For you mothers listening, what is the most fulfilling part of motherhood for you in your stage of life? Psalm 127, verse 3 in the New Living Translation says this, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. Motherhood can be tough at times, and it may have its ups and downs. Yet through it all, it is truly a blessing and a gift from God. My prayer for you mothers is that you would be fulfilled in what God has called of you as a mother. I ask those mothers a third and final question. And that question is, what advice can you give mothers today? Titus 2:4, also from the New Living Translation, says this: these older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children. This is not meant to be in a negative sense, but to honestly learn from one another. Mothers who have been through the trials of motherhood can encourage those who may be still struggling through. Let's hear from our future mothers on what they have to say and what advice they would like to share with you.
The advice that I give young people is to always remember that you have children, a gift from God, and praise them more, and know that they can see you. Put your husband first, and then realize that he is the one who takes care of us, and give him the respect.
Oh, I'd love to give a lot of advice. No. You know, when I was a kid, my parents were still talking about Pearl Harbor and World War II. Then I remember clearly the day that JFK was shot, our president, and the fear that I would have from the conversations I heard that day about the Cold War, Christians being persecuted in communist countries, and relatives and friends going away to Vietnam War, and also even my biology teacher left one Friday, never saw him again, he went to Vietnam. Then the Gulf War, then 9/11, and now COVID-19. And the question is asked, should we ever be bringing children into this world in times like this? And one of my sisters was just talking the other day about this. She asked Mom that question. And she said, you can't think like that. You have to trust. If you go on with that fear, you won't ever be able to raise your children for the Lord. And then the verse comes to my mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And last but not least, we raised all boys. And I just want to encourage the moms that are mothers of boys to read books like Wild at Heart by John Eldridge and Mother and Son, The Respect Effect. I think it is so important that, you know, moms get left with a lot of the raising children because men are out making a living. And they need to realize that they're not raising them to be little girls. In our culture today, we need boys to become men. And so it's so important that we learn how to raise boys. And when the 18 years are finished, you have just begun the prayer journey that will go for the rest of your life.
My advice would be to listen to their kids, and not just listen, but to hear what they're saying. Hear them. And teach them about Christ. That would be my two things.
My advice to young mothers is to never give up. Never despair. Never feel like you're not enough. God chose you to be the mother of this little one. He is trusting you with them. Even when you feel like you're failing, remember that you're the daughter of a king. Hold your head up high and know that you are doing the best you can. God only requires our willingness to serve and to follow him. When you feel like you've messed it all up, remember that God makes beauty from ashes. Always believe in your kids. Your children need to feel validated. When your child comes to you and wants to tell you something, listen to what they have to say. No matter how small or insignificant you think it is. Because if you don't listen to the small things, they're not going to come to you with the big things. Never just think that they know what your expectations for them are. You need to make your expectations clear. And you need to hold them accountable. And then you need to love them with everything that is within you. And that is what I believe is success. Thank you for including me. I'll see you all in July.
I hope these mothers have spoke to you this morning. And I hope for the mothers listening this morning that you have been encouraged and maybe even challenged. I also would love it if mothers all over would be flooded with words and actions showing love and appreciation. But before I close, I would like to read another verse. It's found in Romans chapter 16, starting with verse 13. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. This is a part of the Apostle Paul's final greeting at the end of the book of Romans. That part that really touched me was that Paul greeted a fellow servant of Christ, Rufus, and he greeted his mother as well, who he says was like a mother to him. Though she is unnamed and not likely Paul's biological mother, she was like a mother to him. What was it that she did? What was it that she did that made him refer to as another, like another mother? Did she love on Paul? Did she care for him? Did she pray for him? Did she encourage him? Was she a listening ear? Did she give him a place to stay? Did she watch out for him when he was there? We don't know. But I think many of us have had great mothers, and I am thankful for my mother. And I think many of us have also had great people in our lives who are like mothers and even like grandmothers. I thank the Lord for them in my life just the same. God is so good, and I encourage you all to call your mothers, to call your like mothers or your like grandmothers, and tell them how much you appreciate them, because they are in your life as a gift from the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Lord, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for this time that we can honor and celebrate mothers all over. Lord, I pray that you would be with those that may be struggling in motherhood. Lord, I just pray that you would just lift them up, guide them and direct them. And Lord, help the other mothers to encourage each other. Lord, we are just so thankful for your gift of motherhood and the impact that they have on our lives. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with each and every one, wherever they may be today. I pray that you would bless them this week. And Lord, we are so thankful that you are a God that is with each and every one of us. And in your name I pray. Amen.